Genesis chapter number 3, we're going to read again the first 13 verses as we did last week. That's a series that we are going to continue for the next few weeks ahead. And this is the attack on the family, part 2. Let's begin reading in verse number 1. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the trees which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, again, we're grateful that we're able to be back here this morning. Lord, I pray that you would begin to speak to our hearts through your word. God, I pray that you would use me to be a help to your people, to be an encouragement, to be one that would be edifying as well. But Lord, I pray that you would just allow our thoughts to be gathered around your word this morning. We ask you these things in your name. Amen. This morning we will continue to deal with Satan's ruthless attack on the family. And why am I doing this? Because the attack on the family is very real. And we need to be we need to be guarding our hearts so that we don't allow ourselves to come under those attacks. Just a reminder, Satan attacks the family because why? Because the family is God-ordained. The family, I want you to think about this, the family was even created before the church. Today, we will focus on two more ways the devil will attack. And it is even more reason for the head of the family to guard his heart. Not only to guard his heart, but to be on guard and this, to be a leader for the family that God has called him to lead. Last week, we ended up with how Satan will try to destroy the marriage. He twists and he lies about Scripture. And he has not changed his ways. He has not changed his tactics to this day. He tries to lure in the weaker vessel. And I'm not talking about just the woman, but I'm talking about the man as well. And what he will do, he will set traps. For what reason? So that we will fall into them. And unfortunately, we all come victims to the traps of Satan when he sets them for us. Which is a reminder, or should be a reminder to us all, that we need to guard our hearts by how? By being in God's Word. We can't guard our hearts when we choose or we decide to say no to the Word of God in that day in your life. We fall for these traps because the Word of God has not been the standard by which we live by. We give ourselves our own standards, our own way of living that we think is best for us. But let me give you a little bit of a newsflash. God knows what's best for us, and he has all the answers that we'll ever need for anything in life so that we can succeed. But the problem is, we decide or we want to choose our own ways. But we must get back to living by the standard of the Word of God. You want to know what's wrong with our world today? I'll tell you what's wrong with our world. As very blunt as I can say, the Word of God is not a vital point in many people's lives, which is why we're living in a world of chaos. You might not like that statement, but it's true. Instead, here's what we want to do. We want the Bible to adapt to our standard and our way of living. Newsflash, we don't tell God what to do. We're not in control of that. When this is done, the devil begins the process of picking apart family after family. And I can take you to many places in this town, and I can show you many broken homes. And it's not a pretty sight. Why is this taking place? Because Satan hates the family. So how can we defeat the devil? I will show you how we can defeat the devil, and it is by this. By making the Word of God the only source of guidance. I'm going to deal with something this morning that's going to help you out. But you know what we do with our families nowadays? When we have kids, we don't want to deal with them at times. And let's be honest, we've all been there. We come home and like, man, I don't want to deal with this mess. It's so much easier if I just place them in front of the television. And here's what's taking place when we do that. We're allowing that television, who, when it comes from Hollywood, to have an influence in our children's life, and that will begin to be the guidance of their life. But what should we do? Well, simple. We allow the Word of God to be opened up in our homes. Men, how do we allow that? By being a leader. By saying, we're not going to live by the standards of this world, we're going to live by the standards of the Word of God. Plain and simple. Well, how can we do that? By choosing to serve the Lord this day. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But we allow these things to come into our homes. We allow these things that are outside sources from the Word of God, and we allow them to be our guidance. And sometimes we'll step aside and we'll bring in these self-help books. By the way, I'm just going to be honest with you. If they're not of the Word of God, they're not going to be much valuable to you. And some people might not like that statement, but it is the exact truth. Why? Because God has all the answers. God wrote this book. And so men will give you their thoughts, and they'll give you their ideas, and they'll give you their way of thinking how you should live, instead of having the Word of God be a part of us. So today we're going to deal with two more attacks on how Satan will try to get us to fall apart. The third attack is this. Satan hates our children. Satan hates our children. We ended last week with marriage, and now we're going to pick it up with the children that God has allowed us to have. He is out to take them down. He is out to ruin the very foundation that you as a parent has established in their life. Because he hates the fact that you love God, he hates the fact that you have a desire to serve God, and he hates the fact that you have a desire for your children and for your grandchildren to live for God. And so what he's trying to do, because he hates our children, he's going to come in and he's going to try to ruin the very foundation that we set up, according to God's word. And unfortunately, people, he's very successful in this. How does that happen? It goes back to what I said a few moments ago. We let our guard down, we don't guard our hearts, and we don't think that there is a great urgency, or we don't think that there should be a great desire to be protecting our children. Our children should be valuable to us. We went out to the races last night at West Fair, and that was a lot of fun. Even though my daughter is 19 years of age and she can take care of herself better than I can take care of her, you know what my obligation and my duty as a father is? To protect her. There's crazy people out there. Not only do I have to protect her, but I got to protect my wife in the same sense. And usually I'm falling behind them so that I can see in front of me what's taking place. Last night I was in a hurry. I cleared the way. I wanted to get out of there. It's like, follow me, let's go. And then I look back and they weren't there. Phone call, hey, where are you guys at? I'm by the beef jerky station. But we have an urgency to protect our children. He's out to ruin them. He's wanting to destroy the very foundation that you're trying to establish. There are so many bad influences out there that we need to be able to protect the very precious lives that God has allowed for them to be a part of our lives. Why? Because he has given to us as a gift. Do you realize tonight our children aren't ours? Our children are on loan from God. They're His. They're His. So one of the habits that we talked about a few weeks ago was this. Allowing your child or children to develop a relationship with God. And this happens when they see that we as parents or we as grandparents are wanting that same thing and desiring that same thing for our lives as well. Don't expect them to do something that you're not doing. Don't expect them to practice something that you're not practicing. Don't expect them to be faithful in something that you're not being faithful in. That's contradicting yourself. And if you want your children to follow you in the way of the Lord, then you must follow the Lord as well. If you want your foundation that you're trying to protect your children from getting destroyed, then buddy, you better follow God's standard of living. The story of Adam and Eve is really sad when you begin to see what sin had done. Why are we in this predicament to begin with? Why is Satan trying to destroy the family to begin with? Because of sin that has crept into the life. Because of sin that was crept into the garden at this point in time. First, it allowed them, and we read this in Scripture, sin had allowed them to see their nakedness. See, before this even took place, they had no idea that they were naked. They were oblivious to this. They were perfect. But sin crept in, destroyed the foundation that God had planned for them, and now because of this, their nakedness was revealed. The second thing that it had done because of sin, it had separated them from God. Which is why you see them hiding in the garden. Where are they at? They were hiding amongst the trees that God allowed them to be able to partake of and to be able to eat. But they went to the tree that they weren't to eat of. And because of that, now sin had crept into their life, and now their nakedness has been revealed. And now they knew that they sinned against an almighty God. And now they're finding themselves hiding in the garden. But you know what? You cannot hide from God. You cannot hide from God. God knows exactly where you're at all the time. You can't even hide your secret sins. God knows about them. You can't even hide what you've done on the computer, what you've looked up, what you've typed in, because God knows about that. But we spend a majority of our lives hiding. So it separated them from God. The third thing that we see was two boys were brought into the world. And there is division between the boys. The guardian of the heart from the parents were dropped, and the kids' lives were destroyed. Why did this take place? Because Satan hates our children. That's why. Think with me for a second, if you will. Adam and Eve had never experienced a death until this point. I'm not talking about the sacrificing of the lamb. I'm talking about a human death at this point in time. And that came at the cost of one of their sons. And that was Abel. Why did this take place? Because Satan hates our children, and what's he going to do? Satan's going to use a wedge to be driven between every single one of us. And he used a form back then, and he has not changed his way. He still does this, and that is jealousy. Jealousy played the terminator in this relationship. and a wedge was driven between them. We don't think about this much, or probably not at all. The common thing that Satan used was a wedge. You carpenters that are out there, you use wedges quite a bit to get your doors to be in a level position or whatever you need at that point in time. And then once that wedge no longer serves its purposes, where you got the door hung and as perfectly level as can be, or the window or whatever you're doing at that point in time, you pull that wedge out because it's no longer beneficial to you. But Satan never, ever pulls that wedge out. He's going to use that as a driving force to ruin relationships. The wedge is this. The wedge is bitterness. The wedge is hatred. The wedge is jealousy, and so forth. The devil delights. I want you to think about this next statement that I'm going to make here. The devil delights when our adult decisions affect our children by turning them against God and the church. I'm not done with the statement. Sometimes we become the enemy's tools to do that when we follow his ways more than God's. Do I need to read that again, or are we good with this? We are not to train up our children to follow after the things of this world. But this is exactly what takes place when we begin to make the wrong decisions. If things are taking you and your family away from God because of your decisions, then there will be consequences. This is exactly what it means when I said we become the enemy's tool. We must understand and come to the recognition how much Satan hates our children. And the decisions that we make should be made because of the will of God, not because it's our will or our desire. You know, there's so much truth when we say some things. I've heard some things said, like, man, let me pray about this. You know, we should pray about every decision that we make in our life. We really should. Why? Because every decision affects us. Well, how's that happen? Well, think about this. You go to the grocery store, you got to pray that God keeps your budget at $50. Why? Because if you go over $50, you know it might break the bank account. I know that's a silly illustration, but our decisions have consequences. I just want you to understand that, and I hope that you do. And so we need to pray about every decision that comes our way. I'm going to be honest with you. There are some times as a young man that I wasn't too particularly happy with my parents for the decisions that they made for my benefit. Do you know I wasn't allowed to miss church for sporting events? Some of you say, well, that's pretty cruel. In our world today, yeah, that's probably pretty cruel. But in my world, when I was growing up, that was standard. We've gotten away from those things. But I'm thankful for the decisions that they made on my behalf. They didn't allow me to do the things that I wanted to do. Why? Because they were building a foundation. And they knew if they quit building that foundation, Satan would come in and try to destroy those things. But if it wasn't for their godly decisions, making those things at times, who knows where my life would be? I often think about, what if they would have just let me play this event on a Sunday? What harm could that have caused me? Could have caused a lot of harm. There could have been a lot of bad influence that would have came in on my life. You know, even as years gone by, I still rejected that teaching that they had. I got married at the age of 19. I was just getting ready to turn 20. And I thought I became my own man. Little did I know, I became my wife's man. And I thought I was making decisions for myself. Little did I know, she's making decisions for me. And that's okay, because I need help in those areas. But I still love sports. And folks, I still love sports, which is why I love to go golf and I love to play basketball. But I decided one time that I got myself into a basketball league, playing on Sunday mornings. And I thought, well, I can do this if it's before church. We played at 6 o'clock every Sunday morning. I'm thinking to myself, what a fool. But I did this for a while. It was beginning to interfere with how I was thinking about some things. It began to have a bad influence. I didn't have mom and dad to really tell me, hey, son, you're making a bad decision, because they're letting me live my life on my own. My wife, she allowed me to do these things. But God got a hold of my heart. You know what he did? He allowed a 6'9" guy go up in the air with me at the same time. I came down before he did, and his foot got on my ankle. Twisted that thing like it had never been twisted before. You know what I quit doing on Sunday mornings? I quit playing basketball. Why? Because there was some bad influence that were taking place. Thankful. I know I've said this this story for a reason, because I'm thankful for the influence, the godly decisions that parents made earlier on. It's not always going to be easy parenting, but be consistent. Stay the course. Stay focused on the Word of God. Guard your heart. Your children's lives depend on it. Why? Because Satan hates them and he's out to ruin them. The fourth enemy is this. The enemy wants to take out the primary place of disciple making. The first place for making disciples is where? It's in the home, where parents are to disciple their children. I believe we as Americans have gotten away from this teaching process. When that home is messed up, the church's disciple-making work becomes harder. So often we expect the church to fix the problems of the family. But how is that even possible when they're only here 2 to 3 hours a week? When you're with your children many more hours than that. We can't fix what you've allowed to be broken. How can we even disciple our kids when they are so involved with everything else? And the things of God and the house of God are foreign to them. And I know this right now. I know that there are people thinking in their mind, Chad, here we go again with you being so negative. No, I'm showing us, I'm included, where we have failed. The way we think now is the world comes first, and God, we might fit him when it's convenient. That's where we failed. You want to have revival in this church? You want to have revival in America once again? Then put God first in your homes. You want to have revival again in this country? Then begin to open up the Word of God in front of your kids. It'll be life-changing. Why do we need to disciple our children? I'll give you a few reasons. One, I want you to think about this, because a lot of people don't think about this. We have a shortage on pastors. You know, I'm involved in a group on Facebook, and it's small Baptist churches in need of pastors. And there are so many Baptist churches in this world that need a pastor. And that might not seem like something of a big deal, but it is a big deal to have a church without a shepherd. Second, there is a shortage on Sunday school teachers. It's hard to go in any church and have people to have a desire to be Sunday school teachers. It not only takes place here, but it takes place in other churches. When Chris and I were in Bellevue, Nebraska, there's a shortage on Sunday school workers. Why is that? Is it because maybe we have dropped the ball in discipling our kids at home? Trying to raise them up into God's standard and God's way of living? Think about this. If we lose the true groups of people, the church may cease to exist. A church without a pastor, a church without Sunday school workers, is a church that will probably cease to exist. And this is a huge problem, and it can be fixed. In the homes, when parents take the time to disciple their kids. When Satan begins to attack the home and he begins to have victory, the discipleship making is no longer taking place. Before I close this message this morning, Can I ask you a question? What is wrong? And I'm talking about our children here. What is wrong with our encouraging our sons to be preachers? What's wrong with that? Oh, I'd rather have my kid go out into the world and become a lawyer, or I'd rather him come out into the world and have an engineering degree. And I'm nothing wrong with that. That's all great, because we need good Christian lawyers, and we need good godly Christian engineers, and we need godly Christian teachers. But we also need preachers for the future. What's wrong with being an encouragement to having your son become a pastor of a church? What's wrong with encouraging your son to become a missionary? To go to a foreign land that you cannot go to? To be able to give the gospel to many children that will come their way, whether it be to Argentina, Mexico, or even Nigeria. What's wrong with encouraging them to be a missionary? What's wrong with encouraging your son to become an evangelist? From going church to church to really get behind the pulpit and affirm what the pastor has been saying for years, and finally a light clicks on. What's wrong with encouraging these things? What's wrong with encouraging our daughters to marry a pastor? What's wrong with encouraging our daughters to become the church pianist or to become a Sunday school teacher as well? What's wrong with those things? Absolutely nothing. But why is there a shortage on those things? Because Satan has attacked the home, and disciple making is no longer taking place. How do we even disciple them? I'm going to sound like a broken record this morning. By opening the Word of God. By opening the Word of God. The Word of God is going to be of no value to you if you keep it closed. You might as well just put it on a shelf with the other books that's going to collect dust that you'll probably never pick up and read ever again. You want to know why Satan's attacking our homes? You want to know why disciple making's not taking place? I'm going to be very, very blunt with you. Because we, as God's people, have said that this Word of God is no longer important. It's no longer our standard of living. I'm going to create my own standard by which how I lead my family. And now we see horrible results of these things. It happens. It even happens inside of churches. We need to open the Word of God. For what reason? So that the Bible can be the main influence in their life. That's why. A parent takes great joy raising their children up in the Lord, begin to disciple them, and then that joy begins to take place when they begin to see the fruits of their labor. And they begin to see their child begin to build off the very foundation that their parents have created for them. I know that because I've heard that from parents. I know that because I experience great joy in my life when I see that in my daughter's life. And I know you guys experience that too. But we need to get back to opening up the Word of God and letting God lead our lives, lead our families, so that we can have, so God can have an influence in their life. When Satan attacks and ruins the home, then the future of our children becomes bleak. Today we buy insurance to protect our home when it becomes damaged. Storms come in and we want the insurance company to come in and take place and do the fixing that needs to be done. But the best insurance that we can have for the family is the Word of God. The results will be this. They will be disciples for the Lord. Satan will attack our children because he hates them, and Satan will ruin the home to take away the discipleship-making program that God has designed for it. And folks, these are just two more ways of which Satan will attack us and try to ruin us, and we need to be on guard. So I'm going to challenge you men. Men, how can we do this? By being a leader in your home. That's how. I'm not saying this to be negative towards the women today, so please don't take it that way. Unfortunately, we're living in a world today where women are leading the homes. Let me say this. I'm thankful this morning for godly women. I am thankful for that. But the woman should not be leading the home. God left that up to the man. And we need to get back as men leading the home. Well, my kids are out of the house. God's given us grandchildren. You're still the leader. You're still the influence. You still have an impact. My dad was giving me guidance till the day he passed away. You don't believe me? I walked into the room Tuesday night before he passed away, and as soon as I walked in the room, he started giving me instructions. Christy and Jeff are there. They witnessed it. He still had a job to do. Even though our kids might be out of the house, grandkids are in there, we're still the leader. I miss my leader right now. But you know what? As I look at Jeff right now, I see his son out of the corner of my eye, and he's still a leader to his son. And he's using that influence to lead his family. The influence of a good foundation. That's what we need. What is that foundation? The Word of God. Let's stand and pray. I have the pianist come up, play a verse or two of God has spoken in your heart this morning. I would encourage you to do the business that God has called you to do. Lord, we are grateful today that you've allowed us to be here again. Lord, the family is very special to me. And the reason why is because you give me a good family with my mom and dad, my brothers and sisters, my brother-in-laws, my sister-in-laws, my nephews and nieces, my own wife and daughter. But Lord, you've also given me a church family. And I thank you for every single one of them. And God, I would hate for Satan to come in and to destroy and ruin the foundation that you created here. God, help us to, especially us men, to be the leaders in the home that you created us to be. But Lord, we can't be the leaders if we're not seeking you. So I pray that you would allow us to see the importance of seeking your face daily. Lord, I ask that you just bless in these next few moments to come, and we ask it in your name. Amen.